The following is a synopsis of the Rebbe's talks of the night and day of Tuesday of the Parsha Vayechi, Asara Betavis, may it be transformed into days of rejoicing, and also the Shabbos of Parshas Vayechi, the 14th of Tevis, Tavshinun Beis, corresponding to the year 1992. The Rebbe begins by speaking about the first book of the Torah, Bereishis, which is the first and the head of all the holy writings of the Torah that come after it, in which we read about the events that occurred with our forefathers, Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, from whom we draw the energy to serve God the way we ought to, as it says, Maisa Avay Simil Abanim, that the actions of the patriarchs is a sign for the children, namely for the Jewish people. Even the name of the parsha with which the book of Bereishis concludes, which is Vayechi Yaakov, and Yaakov lived, underscores the power that we get from the patriarchs. Yaakov, who is Bechir Sheba Avis, the chosen, the select one, the elite of the patriarchs, is the one who gives and transmits the power of the patriarchs for future generations. That Yaakov gives us the power to live, Vayechi, forever. There's no end to the inspiration and power we get from him. Now, in the Parsha Vayechi itself, it relates how Yaakov blessed his children, and in his blessing, he endowed them with all the powers that they need. That also explains why our sages say that Yaakov Avinu lo mes, our father Jacob never died, because all of his energy remained and was transmitted to future generations, especially through the learning of Torah, which Yaakov engaged in a way that was unique. This is also the reason why the end of the reading of the book of Bereishis, the end of this parsha, we all declare, Chazak, Chazak, v'nis chazek, be strong and strong, and we will be strengthened, because it's the parsha of Vayechi Yaakov, and Yaakov lived, that strengthens the Jewish people. What we still have to do, in terms of understanding what is the connection between this parsha of Vayechi Yaakov with Asara Betavis, the 10th day of Tevis, which occurred in the Tuesday of the week in which we read Parshas Vayechi. That year, Asara Betavis was on a Tuesday. So the Rebbe explains, there's something special about Asara Betavis, even in contrast with all the other fast days, including Tisha B'Av, because the 10th of Tevis is unique, that if it would have ever occurred on a Shabbos, which it can't nowadays because of our calendar, but in the olden days when they followed the sanctification of the moon month by month, if it would have occurred on a Shabbos, we would be required to fast, because the prophet, when it talks about the 10th of Tevis, uses the expression that is also used in Yom Kippur, Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh, in the essence of this day, which teaches us that this day is an essential day of fasting no matter what, even if it's Shabbos. Why is Asara Betavis more stringent than all the other fast days in this regard? Because that's when the Churban, the destruction, began. That's when the siege around the walls of Jerusalem commenced. The 17th of Tammuz is when the enemy broke through the walls of Jerusalem. Tisha B'Av, that's when the first and second temple were actually destroyed. The 3rd of Tishrei is when the governor of Israel, Gedaliah, was murdered, and that brought an end to the Jewish presence in Israel, and the Jews were all exiled. But the most stringent of fast days is the 10th of Tevis, because that's when everything, all the tsaros, all the misfortunes began. From this it follows, then, that when it comes to the positive side of all fast days, there's something unique about the 10th of Tevis, because it's the beginning of all the fast days in terms of their positive energy as well. The prophet Yeshayahu refers to the fast days as Eis Ratzon, a time, a propitious time, a time of divine will. And the reason for that is because a fast day is a time when we are more suited to be awakened, we're more likely to be aroused to do tshuva, which negates the entire process of destruction and brings redemption, as the Rambam says, that ultimately the Jewish people will do tshuva and they will be redeemed immediately. So that's the whole goal of a fast day, to undo the churban, undo the destruction. And this is especially underscored when it comes to the fast of the 10th of Tevis. When the siege began, there was still no way in which the temple was harmed, or the houses of Yerushalayim. Even the wall that surrounded Yerushalayim was still intact. The king of Babel, of Babylonia, was still on the outside. But the fact itself that it was still a siege, and no one could go in or out and bring food and other things, that was a very, very difficult thing, of course. But what is the ultimate goal of this siege? That the Jewish people should be awakened to do complete tshuva, and that would have eliminated the possibility of the destruction even before it commenced. So what does the 10th of Tevis teach us? What is its unique character and lesson? That this is the time appropriate to do tshuva, because there was no actual destruction in this day itself. So the whole purpose of this day was to awaken us to do tshuva, at which time Yerushalayim and the Beis HaMikdash will remain intact in their completeness. So there's something special that Asar B'Tevis has in particular with the Churban of the Beis HaMikdash and its rebuilding. When it comes to the siege of Jerusalem, which began on the 10th of Tevis, it was said to the prophet Yechezkel, go take a pan made out of iron and put it on an iron wall. This was an omen. This was a symbolic gesture to indicate that there will be a siege on the walls of Yerushalayim. But why did God choose in this prophecy to use the metaphor of barzel, of iron? And the reason for that is because iron is the symbol of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, because iron symbolizes murder and destruction. That's why when the Beis HaMikdash was built, there was no use of iron in the Beis HaMikdash itself. The sound of iron did not exist within the perimeters of the Beis HaMikdash. How do you correct the damage that is caused by iron? That's when we learn Torah in a very forceful and energetic way. Then we use the strength that is represented by iron for matters of holiness in order to negate the iron that is used for the purpose of destruction. So since the whole idea of the 10th of Tevis was to get the Jewish people to do tshuva, after which time there would be no problem with the walls of Jerusalem, they would have remained in their original strength, so that even now that the temple was destroyed, the whole purpose of the destruction is we should refine the concept of iron with regard to the third Beis HaMikdash. And the Rebbe says that there are several types of materials that were used for the Beis HaMikdash that each has a different connotation. For example, Zahav, gold, says in the Medrash, is an acronym for three words. Zeh Hanosin Bari. This refers to a person who gives, helps out, who gives charity. Bari, when he's healthy. That refers to and parallels the first Beis HaMikdash, in which everything was perfect and complete. Everything was healthy. Nothing was lacking in the first Beis HaMikdash. The next material, kesef, silver, is also an acronym. Kishayesh sakanas pachad. When a person gives tzedakah, when there is a fear of danger, so he wants to avert the danger, so he gives tzedakah. That's not as perfect as the one who gives when he's healthy. That is the status of the second Beis HaMikdash, which was not complete, and there was always this danger of it being destroyed. And the third metal, nechoshes, copper, is also an acronym for Nisinas Chayla Sh'amar Tnu. This is when a sick person who is really on the verge of leaving this world, and he says, give tzedakah for myself. That is a metaphor for the time of exile, when the Jewish people are likened to a sick person, and they're asking, please, God, give us the Beis HaMikdash. Now, the fourth metal, Barzel, iron, the Rebbe says, is connected to the third Beis HaMikdash, which is strong and eternal and perfect. That's the idea of Barzel, of iron, in the holy realm. Chassidus also explains that Barzel is an acronym for four of the wives of Jacob in this order: Bilha, the handmaiden of Rachel, then Rachel, Zilpah, the handmaiden of Leah, and then Leah. Here, the handmaidens, Bilha and Zilpah, come before the matriarchs. That is primarily a function of klipa, of the other forces, of the negative forces, in the side of impurity, where the weaker try to dominate the stronger. But also in the realm of holiness, we also have this type of phenomenon, because in the time of redemption, the matriarchs will precede the patriarchs. As it says, Eishes Chayil Ateres Baila, a woman of valor is the crown of her husband, because in the time of redemption, it will be revealed that the lower levels have a higher source. And for that reason, the handmaidens, which are today at a much lower level, will come before the matriarchs in the time of redemption. And the same thing is true with the Beis HaMikdash. The reason why the Beis HaMikdash was made out of stone, not out of wood like the Mishkan, was because the Beis HaMikdash revealed the quality of stones, inanimate object, over vegetation, which is normally considered to be a higher level of life. And for that reason, in the third Beis HaMikdash, we will go even further, that we'll take something that is even lower than stone, lower than inanimate, something that is the source of destruction, and that too will be used in the third Beis HaMikdash. And the Rebbe explains, it's not just that iron is a metaphor for the strength and eternal duration of the third Beis HaMikdash, but there will be, the Rebbe says, the use of iron in the Beis HaMikdash itself. The reason why we didn't use iron in the Beis HaMikdash was because iron is a symbol of destruction, of death. In the time of redemption, there will be no more evil, and therefore there will be no more destruction that is associated with iron. Then iron will be able to be used exclusively for some positive purposes. For the same reason, it's logical to suggest that the third Beis HaMikdash, the Rebbe says, will not only be made out of stone, but also made out of iron. Iron will be used in great quantity, and this is based on the words of King David in the book of Divrei Hayyamim, the book of Chronicles, where he says, I prepared for God's house iron, and he gives an incredible amount, 100,000 talents. Now, in the first Beis HaMikdash, as well as in the second, they didn't use so much iron. They hardly used any iron. So the Rebbe says this is clear proof that this will be used for the third Beis HaMikdash. So here we have a phenomenal thing that relates to the 10th of Tevis. The siege that began on that day, which marked the beginning of the events that led to the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, that's only one side of the coin. But since the whole purpose of destruction is for the rebuilding of the third Beis HaMikdash, so it follows there that this siege was actually the beginning of the process of the third Beis HaMikdash. And that's why the symbol of this destruction was an iron wall. Because the whole purpose of the destruction was there should be a rebuilding of the temple in a much more magnificent and enduring way that will be made out of iron, that will represent the fact that the third Beis HaMikdash will be one that is strong and forever. And if we pay attention to the date of the 10th of Tevis, it also ties into the whole idea of redemption. The month of Tevis is the 10th month, starting from the month of Nisan, which is the month of redemption. So the Tevis is the 10th month. Asara B'Tevis is the 10th of the 10th. That's all connected to the redemption, because the number 10 is connected to redemption. As it says, there will be a harp made out of 10 strands. The Jewish people will sing the 10th song and many other things that are related to the number 10. Another thing about the month of Tevis, that it's a very cold month. And as the Talmud says, it's a month, haguf, nenem haguf, when two bodies together, one body derives pleasure from the other body because one body warms the other. The way Chassidus interprets this phrase in a spiritual way is that God, who is the essential guf, the essential body, as it were, connects to the guf, the body of the Jewish people, and to all of what they do, all of their good deeds. So the 10th of Tevis, which occurs this year, the year in which the Rebbe said this, on a Tuesday, that's the day when God says there should be vegetation, seeds, plants that yield seeds, because when you plant something, the second you plant it, you already started the process in which there is already the potential for all the growth, the subsequent growth. And that's what a 10th of Tevis is. It was the beginning of the redemption, just like the seed that is planted is the beginning of the process of growth. Now we can understand the connection of Asara B'Tevis to the Parsha Vayechi. The Parsha Vayechi concludes with a description of the Jewish people's existence in the land of Egypt, including the Parsha that follows. Their theme is the difficult bondage that the Jewish people experienced in Egypt, and they need special strength to support them. And this strength came from Yaakov. Yaakov represents emes, truth, consistency, eternality. As our sages say, that Yaakov did not die. This power was given to his children to enable them to bear and tolerate the exile and to remain strong and eternal until the time of redemption. And this is the way they receive their strength. It's through the energy of Yaakov, who represents truth and eternal life. And that's why Yaakov, as opposed to the other patriarchs, all of his children were righteous people, and he was able to transmit his power to them and through them to us. As the Talmud says, that Zaro B'chaim, his children, his seed, are alive. That's the reason why we say that Yaakov himself is alive. Now, the term they use is his seed, because everything that we do in exile is like a seed that brings about inevitable growth, which is the complete redemption. Therefore, when Asar B'tavis arrives, that underscores the fact that the beginning of the Churban is also the beginning of the process of redemption. We read the Parsha Vayechi because when the Jews are ready to go into Egypt, it's in order to sow the seeds of the eternal redemption, the true and complete redemption. And there are several characteristics that are very positive about our generation in light of all of the above. Our generation is the end of Golus, the last one of exile, in which the beginning of the third of the complete redemption will commence. As the previous Rebbe said, that we already finished all of the things that we had to do. We already did tshuva, the Rebbe said, and everything is ready for the geula, the levayasan, the fish that we will be served, the shor habar, the wild ox, and the guarded wine. This year, in which the Rebbe said the talk, the Rebbe says, has as an acronym the words Tehei Shnas Neflos Bakol. There will be wonders in every respect. So this is especially connected to redemption, when we'll have wonders in every respect. And then the patriarchs will arise who had a taste of redemption, but not the actual redemption itself. And together with the matriarchs of all the Jewish people, and they will all greet the complete redemption together with all of the Jewish people of all generations. We will all come together to Yerushalayim, to the Beis Hamikdash, which will also be made out of iron, as we said before, but iron in the sense, in the realm of holiness. And therefore, the strength that we were given at the beginning of exile, knowing that the sowing of the seeds of Geula had begun, is especially relevant in the present day and age, when we will see imminently, immediately, in actuality, not just in potentiality, the redemption, and in place of the siege of Jerusalem, Yerushalayim will spread out to all of Israel, and as all of Israel to the whole world, and in place of iron that destroyed the Beis Hamikdash, we'll see the iron that will be an integral part of the Beis Hamikdash. This is the practical message from all of this. We have to strengthen ourselves to fulfill all the commandments in a way that they will bring about the growth of the complete redemption. When we train and educate our children and our students, we have to educate them in a very strong, firm way, so that even when they're engaged in other things and we're no longer actively engaged in teaching them, they should still continue with this education, because education has to be like zriya, like sowing, that brings about the inevitable result of growth forever. And the same thing is true with our own activities for ourselves. We have to know that everything that we do that is positive, whether it's action, whether it's speech, or whether it's thought, should be done with power, with strength that lasts forever. Just as when we plant a seed in the ground, it will bring a yield of fruit, of produce, and as time goes on, it'll keep on continuing to grow exponentially. The same way, when we do some good things, when we do a mitzvah, it has to be done in such a way that even after we no longer engage in that mitzvah, whether we're resting or that we're doing something else, it will not end, but it will continue to bring positive results forever. This can happen when we reveal the Yaakov within ourselves. What is Yaakov? It's a composite of two parts. Yud, Akev. Yud is the power of our soul, and Akev is the heel, that when the high powers of our soul permeate every part of our being until it extends even to the heel. Then, when we have this Yaakov power, this will last forever. And the central thing is that this is the way we'll bring the complete redemption, as the Rambam rules, that even one mitzvah could bring salvation to the whole world, and we will all then live Chaim Nitzchem, eternal life. And the Rebbe says, may it be that this resolution alone to increase in mitzvahs as required, that itself, the resolution, even before we implement it, should bring the redemption, the actual redemption, when all the tribes, together with Moshe and Aaron, will all arise and go to the complete redemption. In simple terms, this means that when Jews all over the world will gather, together with all the synagogues, beginning with 770, with all the holy books, our personal homes and our personal property that was used in a holy way, will all be transported on clouds straight to Eretz Yisrael, to Yerushalayim, to the Beis HaMikdash, and into the Holy of Holies. And everyone will be able to say, Hine HaMelech HaMashiach, behold, here is Mashiach. Behold, here is the Rebbe Rayatz. Here he's referring to the previous Rebbe. Here is God. And we will celebrate together the Suda, the feast of Malava Malka, the Saturday night repast when we escort the Queen, together with David HaMelech in the Beis HaMikdash amidst great pomp and circumstance. A summary of the synopsis. Parsha Vayechi is with Parsha with which we conclude the book of Bereishis, and it gives us the strength for all the other subsequent books of the Torah. And we could see that in the name of the Parsha and also in the content of the Parsha. The strength that we get is from Yaakov. Yaakov represents Torah, which is true and eternal. And that's the power Yaakov bequeathed to all of the Jewish people, that they should be able to survive in exile. And moreover, he gave them the possibility that the exile should not just be a time when they could survive, but that would be the zriya, the sowing, that brings about, it contains within it, the ultimate growth of the redemption. Now, this knowledge strengthens the Jewish people, knowing that everything that they do is actually bringing about the growth of the redemption. Now, the 10th of Tevis is the most stringent of all the fast days for the destruction of the temple, because if it would occur on a Shabbos, we would still be required to fast. Why? Because the siege began then, which brought all the other negative consequences up until and through the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. But if the whole purpose of the destruction was in order to bring about the growth of the redemption, so it means that Asar B'Tevis is when this process of bringing the redemption actually commenced. That's why the symbol that was used to introduce the 10th of Tevis was a iron wall, because the strength of iron represents the strength of the third Beis HaMikdash, when iron, which was usually a negative symbol, brings death, will be transformed into something of holiness and be an integral part of the Beis HaMikdash. The Rebbe says the knowledge that even now, as we're in exile, we're planting the seeds of redemption. This is even more poignant and more pronounced now that we are in the actual generation of Geula, when immediately in place of the siege we will see the expansion of Yerushalayim throughout all of Israel, and in place of iron as a symbol of destruction we will see the iron of holiness becoming an integral part of the Beis HaMikdash. The deed is the essential thing, so the Rebbe says we should increase strengthening our Torah and mitzvahs that will bring the growth of Geula. And the Rebbe expresses this in three ways. Number one, we should increase the intensity of the education of our children, sons and daughters, and our students, that even after we're no longer teaching them, the inspiration shall last. Number two, that everything that we do, whether it's action, whether it's speech, whether it's thought, we should do it with strength, eternal strength. Even when we cease doing it, it should still live on in a way that similar to the sowing of a seed that keeps on growing and sprouting and bringing about the growth of fruit. And the third point, the Rebbe says, the way we do this is when we reveal the Yud, which is the central point of our neshama, into Akev, into the heel, to every aspect of our personality. A few excerpts from this talk. The Rebbe says, when it comes to Zarei, the seed, Yaakov's seed, his children, we have to increase strengthening the education of our sons and daughters and our students with eternal strength. That means that whatever we do to educate them should continue even after we finish teaching them, because this type of chinuch is qualitatively a different kind. It's barzel, it's iron. It has no point of where it ceases, where it gets weaker. And The Rebbe says this is the last generation of Golus, and therefore the first generation of Geula, as the previous Rebbe announced. He's the Yosef of our generation. Yosef comes from a word based on the first Yosef, who notified everyone and declared that God will remember you and take you out of this land and bring you to the land that he swore to give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Yosef, the previous Rebbe, declared that all of our actions and our service has concluded, and all the deadlines have since passed. We already even did tshuva. We made all the preparations and concluded them, and everything is ready for the feast of the future, when we will have the Levayas on the Shor HaBar and the Yayin HaMashumar. And again, the excerpts in the Sefer Besuras HaGeula, the announcement of redemption. So the Rebbe says, our generation is the last generation of exile and the first generation of redemption, as proclaimed and announced by my sainted father-in-law, the leader of our generation, the Yosef of our generation, named after the first Yosef, who proclaimed and announced that God will surely remember you and bring you up from this land to the land that was sworn to Avraham, to Yitzchak, and to Yaakov. For all our deeds and divine service have already been completed. All appointed times have already passed. Tshuva has already been done, and all the preparations have already been finished. In a manner of great preparation, all is ready for the festive meal of the time to come, the Levayas on the Shor HaBar and Yayin Mishumar.